Welcome to the No Direction Podcast, PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage. Remember, we con when you can't.
So I had suggested these to Eric.
Yeah. Well, there was a con in Montana that helped me out, and they had name tags
and the schedule
on the inside was your schedule.
Right.
Which is like,
LJ and I offered to do these up for Paizo with the schedule on the inside, but decided to do it themselves and not put the schedule on the inside.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Also, at least until this year where they did this and they don't have it, I would wander around with this, and if I sat down in the lobby, it went next to me so people knew who the heck I was. Or the banquet, for that matter.
All right, so is anybody in this room that was not in the room for the previous hour?
All right.
Wow.
All right.
That's exciting.
So we probably should do a little bit of recap.
Yeah.
Let's do some announcements first. Or introductions.
Introductions. Announcements. Today's lunch is...
Humans breathe!
That's pretty obvious. I was going to give them the lunch schedule. Pretty basic.
Hi, I'm Adam Daigle. I'm managing developer of Pathfinder.
Hi, I'm Jason Keeley. I'm on the Starfinder team doing stuff.
Hi, I'm Owen Casey Stevens. I'm also on the Starfinder team. I also do stuff.
Right. I can vouch for that.
Oh, my God.
So, what we have happened last hour was Remco Truce, the gentleman who did the Starfinder cover and all the iconics, drew, at the behest of several suggestions, drew actually two monsters, and we're going to talk about how we would go about statting these guys up, and we'll also sort of give you sort of a lowdown of what these weirdos are. We talked about a sort of a jungly kind of world, a little bit high gravity, or possibly sort of a gas giant-y, so that this jungle is actually floating up near the higher parts because of various gas. I think I've got the word sacks written here a few hundred times. We're also going for what we're going for the one of them is that we're going to try to see if we can give it PC stats so that when if we were to since the Alien Archive, which is coming out for Starfinder, has a lot of options for PCs in it. Even though they might be strange and weird, you might be able to play it as a PC. This first one we're showing here that Adam has shown everyone.
Little buggy fella.
The little buggy weirdo. On the right is actually the young. So these little floating little seed pods are the young, and then they grow
right,
into these guys.
Our left.
What's that?
Stage right, our left.
Yes, stage right, your left. the little ones here, little gliders. And then they would eventually sort of, their tail would drop off, and eventually they would come into their own as these also membrane-y gliders. There's a lot of stuff. Soda can for, apparently for,
I guess.
We were going to say that these guys were small. This is a big soda.
What if it's a keg?
It's a keg. It's for a big, big thirst.
I think he was just thirsty.
He might have been. One of the things we talked about here is that, this head with the mandible, this thing is kind of like more of a, but like a bacteria, eater more than it is a, an omnivore or a herbivore or a predator of any kind. But this sort of dangerous-looking head is actually camouflage, and that this is probably a lot more chitin-y and filled with other sacs than it is brains and eyes and whatnot, where its actual optical membranes and whatnot, its face is actually way down here. This is the actual face. So that's very interesting. It's got sort of like a nice a camouflage thing going on there. We talked a little bit about it, maybe sort of speaking a bit through
impression of the sex. Compression of the sex.
Compression. Thank you. Compression of the sex. Exhaling this bit of air so that I can talk, but it's got this sort of also scent-based language that most other off-worlders would not know about.
Jason, can you illustrate how that
sounds? For those of you who aren't here, I gave a little impression. Hey, that's the last time I'm doing that.
Doing what?
I'm come on, man. Good night, everybody.
Feels like I'm...
What else do I got here? did you record that? It's on Serenscape already.
By the new Jason Keeley sounds like.
We did kind of talk about how they might have more of a sort of a limited sort of pack mentality, telepathy kind of thing. So individually, they may not be super smart, but as they glide through this sort of gaseous air, they had kind of a flock mentality, and maybe we'll do something along the lines of, like, when there's more of them, they're a little bit smarter. We came up with the name Washtu for these guys. We don't have a name for the planet, but that's not important. But we also talked about having a sort of a natural predator, since it's sort of mostly sort of eating microorganisms and whatnot. And this, we don't really have a name for it. I've been calling it flat snake. You've been calling it long flounder. I think we can all agree which one of those is slightly better than the other one. I think we all can agree. Let's just move past that. Now, this will probably need a certain name, but this is sort of would be since it'd be lower down and these guys would be gliding. This would be sort of low, but eventually sort of climbing these branches with its snakiness. And then one would imagine slapping this onto what it wanted to eat and just sort of going to town. And I can imagine this guy maybe. Having limited gliding with its big tail, if it needed to,
from tree to tree.
Yeah, from tree to tree.
It might have a bonus to jump checks. For
yeah,
your acrobatics.
Oh yeah, isn't there a snake that can like glide?
Yeah, there is.
Flying snakes. Yeah, exactly.
Stop.
Just stop. Nature, you're drunk.
It's right behind you.
So shall we get into the nitties and also the gritties?
So let's do a brief overview. How many people are familiar with how you make monsters in Pathfinder? Good. We're doing none of that.
Forget it.
How many of you, almost literally none of it. How many of you are familiar with the simplified monster creation rules in Pathfinder Unchained? Good. You can go. That's what we're doing.
I'm only here symbolically as the Pathfinder monster guy. Well, because I would have probably cried if I wasn't all the monster guy.
Not all of monster design is generating numbers, right? A whole bunch. So the simplified rule system is simplified, and I have proven earlier today that if you need one, you can make a Starfinder monster in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's got everything you have to have. Now, it gets nicer the more time you spend on it, but basically, you decide if you have a combatant, an expert, or a spellcaster. You then decide on your CR. CR chart goes from 1 to 25 currently, and that will tell you the approximate value you need for your armor class, saving throws, hit points, ability DCs, spell DCs, ability modifiers. We don't care what your dragon's strength score is. We only care what its strength modifier is, because the only number anyone's ever going to use. What its high attack roll is, its low attack roll, if it has multiple attacks, ranged damage, whether that's kinetic or energy, melee, whether it's kinetic or energy, and how much damage those attacks are likely to do based on how many attacks it has. And then you just get close to those numbers. Try not to vary by too much. We obviously give you some guidance. But one of the things that happens in Pathfinder is you frequently find yourself saying, what I really want is a CR12 ooze. So I'll take an ooze and I'll give it, I don't know, 12 hit dice. Oh, now it only has a quarter as many hit points as it needs. Or I'll give it 24 hit dice. All right, it'll give it 48 hit dice. All right, now it's got enough hit points. Oh, the attack control is atrocious.
Holy crap, look at its fortitude save.
Exactly. And so it works really well in that you develop monsters the way you develop player characters, but you don't normally use monsters the way you use player characters. So with this system, you start by saying, what CR do I want? And then we just tell you what those end result numbers kind of ought to be, and it is entirely divorced from that level of math. So this chart gives you 80% of your monster right there. And in a pinch, you could run a monster just off that chart. Then we have things called grafts, which are a lot like templates that make changes, and what those changes are depend on what kind of graft it is. Grafts don't alter the CR, but sometimes you have to have a minimum CR to get a graft. So we've got the Bone Sage or Necrovite, which is basically a space lich. You got to be CR7 because there are no fifth-level liches. It's just... And that means the appropriate abilities. There are things we don't want monsters to have until the player characters can deal with it, right? So that's how that works. And it goes very quickly. That is the baseline, basic way to do this. So that's the process we're going to go through. And then you pick special abilities and figure out their DCs. And we'll show it to you. But at its core, pick a type, pick a CR, pick a line, you now have most of your monster. And it is that simple.
Yes, ma'am. What are those three types again? Combatant?
Combatant, expert, mm-hmm. and spellcaster.
One of the things I like about this system of monsters, which, having designed and developed hundreds of monsters, was kind of weird to me at first, but I really like, is that there's a lot of times where you need to give a bonus feat to something, and you'll inevitably have someone on the message boards or whatever be like, hey, this has too many feats, or this, why does this, like, and ultimately we get, with this system, we get to say, because I said so.
Yeah.
That's why that has that, because I said so.
Now, if you read the monster menu, or Alien Archive entry, is it going to be kind of reverse engineerable? You can figure out, okay, here's where the graft is, I can take that out and put in a different graft?
So normally, I mean, since there's more to this, right, like what special abilities did we give it, did we decide, since this is the baseline, we give you guidance on how to do things like, hey, you want this thing to have this really high defense against energy, but really low against kinetic, so it's interesting, vary it by this much. So the monsters in the Alien Archive are the full process, and so they don't have a graft on them. You could then add a graft to them.
Well, that's 100% true, because we do have class grafts on some of the monsters.
Yes, so we do for some of the stat blocks, you're right.
Essentially, they'll be a such-and-such soldier, right? You'll be able to know, you'll be able to figure out which soldier bits are, because we'll tell you what the soldier graft is in the book.
And so to explain the soldier graft, we do not have NPC classes. You do not build an NPC by building a player character, because you don't need all that information. You take the line, you get the base numbers for a combatant, and if you want that combatant to be a soldier, we have a graft that bolts on just as much of the soldier class as you need for to feel and act like a soldier. Because for the NPC, you don't need to know that it has exactly 5 ranks and exactly a +3 strength mod, and that it took exactly this feat. You just need to know what skills, what bonus. And so those grafts, we have a graph for every class, so... The other thing that happens is if you decide I really want this incredibly high CR monster that we've already given you to be a wizard, you're not in the situation where you say, well, I can give it 2 levels of wizard, and that's all I can do, or the CR will be too high. So it's a CR 18 monster who can cast magic missile, yay, and go 1d4 plus 1. instead, you will slap. It will have a spellcaster array, you slap the technomancer graft on it, and it'll say, at this level, you should have 1/6, 2/5, and 3/4 level spells. We don't care how many first and second and third level spells it has, because you'll kill it before it'll get to this. What matters is, what's it going to do in the fight? Now, you can build all that out if you want to. If instead this NPC is, hey, this is your patron who helps you out with all your stuff, you can do all that. But the core information is, what are you, as a GM, actually going to use? What information do you need? What is the fastest and easiest way for you to build that information so that you can go on with the fun part of having an encounter and killing players?
Woo!
Characters.
Oh!
Now I count myself an extra lucky.
To the mothers and children and wives and spouses and husbands of my players from earlier today, I apologize. I misread that instruction.
Instructions unclear. Players not
heard. So, if we give you, for example, here's a space squatch star yeti, and we say, here's one that is a soldier.
Remember where you had hour ago.
And here's one that is a soldier. Yes, you would be able to say, okay, this is a CR6 soldier graft. I can go to where the soldier graft is. I can remove that. So I could take that stat block and say, no, this isn't a space squatch star yeti soldier. This is a space squatch star yeti operative, because he's got a sniper tree.
I heard space scotch.
No, space,
are you
space
serving
squatch.
Space scotch and
instead
of the
why,
tonight?
Why is my
spaghetti?
Instead of a Sasquatch, it's a space watch.
You
so
kind of said space scotch.
Space watch.
And then whiskey.
And then
as it happens.
Right. Fatigue talks.
If you really freaking hate your players, like, can you stack different class crafts on top of each other?
Yep.
Yeah, but you can. You know, like anytime you have a monster, you can always just say, well, this is a CR 2000 monster, so yeah, you can hit your players that way, yeah.
It turns out we give the GMs the tools to do anything we want, just like we always did, except this time it's faster and easier.
+3 million to hit.
Yeah, I mean, If your game is ever a contest between the players and the GM wins, as the GM can say, according to Rule Zero, I can do anything I want. You all die, there's no saving throw, go away. And then your players go away, and you don't have anyone to play with, so congratulations. You won! So what we're trying to do here is give you the guidelines to make interesting and appropriate encounters. If you've got a bunch of fifth level players, can you create a CR10 encounter and either they're going to have to avoid it or be smart? Of course you can. Totally. That's utterly your option. Yes, sir?
So you're saying that this is basically the system from Pathfinder and Game?
Yes, it is very similar to that. That was where we started.
Oh, I see. So is it compatible with? In other words, can you use it to mix and match? Or start with Pathfinder monster?
It shouldn't be necessary to mix and match because all of that information we have pretty much duplicated. Okay. I guess there might be some grafts from that that we didn't recreate. I don't think, I mean...
Yeah, I'll tell that all those classes.
All those classes, yeah. So if you really decided you wanted a cleric instead of a technomancer, you could probably do that, just like you can probably figure out how to run a cleric in Starfinder. But they are different game systems. So there's a lot of compatibility, but there are important differences between them.
So you're not necessarily going to be able to, like, step into a time hole and pop out of another planet with your feet.
We do give you a sort of very basic guidelines if you want to take your six best juries worth of Pathfinder monsters and throw one of them at your Starfinder PCs. In the back of the core rulebook, even. We give you that sort of information, like, oh, glam, switch this is this, add maybe a couple extra hit points here or there, and then you're ready, you can just go. So
The simplest conversion, the one that we've kept the most careful eye on, is that you can use Pathfinder monsters in Starfinder. You have to make a few adjustments. It is actually very similar to using a 3-5 monster in Pathfinder. There are a couple things you need to do. But a fireball is a fireball is a breath weapon.
Make sure it can breathe.
So that is the highest level compatibility. And anything that you wanted, and if you take a concept, the system works pretty simply. You say, hey, I really want some weird thing from Bestiary 5. Start Cthulhu. I want Cthulhu. We can do that. You can just take that idea and look at the special abilities he got and apply them to this. Again, you'll have no players left. So does everyone feel like they've got a basic idea of how the system works? So I wanted to give an overview before we get into the details of this monster, which is what you came here to see.
Yep.
Great.
Terrific. I've been sort of mulling some stuff over in my head, and I think it would be neat just for everyone to see us using a class draft. And basically, we can make one of these fellas as if they had a class draft onto them, and basically add a certain CR. And then we can talk about what sort of the baseline player version of all that might be, because you wouldn't necessarily have that sort of that class. They can be anything. Looking at this guy, in general, everyone can talk about this, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, he's not fully combatant, probably not a spellcaster, we're going to talk about magic, we can make him an expert. And what that sort of maybe says to me is that he is possibly some kind of operative. Maybe just a good, like a good pilot, right? Because he's used to flying around and whatnot.
Since they are sort of a hive creature, I might actually go Envoy because they have all of those synergistic.
Right, yeah, if you were one of the players.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, themes we don't necessarily worth to worry about for monsters and NPCs. We haven't quite worked out the archetype stuff. And we'll get to that.
This system is designed to intentionally be less restrictive. So we don't set you up to apply themes to monsters, but you can give a monster, here's a special ability, so if the special ability is everything you get for a theme, fine. That's fine. You can do that. We are trying to empower the GMs to easily create the things they need to tell the stories you want to tell.
Mm-hmm. Alright, galaxy's big.
Yeah, the galaxy's big. We're
so big.
We have 10,000 alien archives planned out, but it's going to take a while to publish them all. So until we get there, there will simply be monsters in the galaxy we haven't given you stats for yet.
What kind of CR? I'm thinking about calling this guy a flock guardian, like the Washtu flock guardian. A lot of times we've been given sort of like, when we give it a class graph, it's not just a Washtu, it's a Washtu that is. And so we can maybe do multiple stat blocks if we wanted to. We give you a Washtu face puncher. And, you know, the soldier grab on it. But I'm thinking Flock Guardian is a good name for this envoy.
Are you saying flop?
Flock.
Okay.
Flock.
I was flock.
Well, excuse me.
See, that's what you get for going after him.
And since we have the long flounder, flop, in fact, sounds reasonable.
No,
so.
Yeah, sure. what's the AR do we want to go with? Here, we can go with Lawan.
Three.
All right, I mean, did we look at what I wrote down? I already wrote that down.
Oh.
Magic! Is this your card? it's a good number. It's good, it's easy, you get some stuff in that. So with all of that being said and done, we go to the expert array. are we just gonna yell out numbers to them? Are they gonna care about you guys gonna care about exact numbers?
In your version, these pages will be numbered.
Also true.
Quick question.
Yes.
So you guys are talking about expert, and then on what's the difference there?
So you start with the expert array, which gives you the basics. If you want to give it any kind of class graph, certain class graphs have restrictions on them as to what array they need to be first. Okay. The soldier class graph needs you to have to pick the combatant array, which has the best to hit, the best to number of hit points and whatnot, so they're compatible. For the envoy and the operative, those are both needs. You need to have the expert array for them.
If you remember the roles in the back of Pathfinder, the monsters have various roles. The arrays are basically three simplified roles. Is this basically a hit and do damage guy, basically a tricky, sneaky, smart guy, or basically a throw magic at you guy? That's our combatant, our expert, and our spellcaster.
Yeah.
And if he is basically a hit-things guy, then it makes sense to make him a soldier. If he is basically a tricky, sneaky guy, then there's no point in putting the soldier graft on there. You won't break the game if you do it, but you won't get what seems like the most logical result. So that's why we say, if you want a soldier, make it a combatant. And that's where you get to the, can you put multiple grafts on something? The rules don't explicitly say, go ahead and have a technomancer operative soldier. But if that makes sense to you, and the numbers will still, in fact, all be near here. He'll just have a lot of special abilities, and he'll never be able to get to them all in one encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did we have a question over here?
Never mind, guys.
Okay, great.
Terrific.
Good job.
You did it.
Magic.
Awesome. I wish I could do that every panel. That'd be awesome.
We do have another question.
Yeah.
So if you're designing an alien, and you say, we're going to make it an expert, does that mean you can't make soldier versions of it, or do they have a combatant?
You can always
different arrays for the same alien.
Yeah, you can always reverse engineer basically, or simply start from scratch, right?
What?
You can be like soldier. Oh, let's just start with the soldier. He's now I need him to be a CR7, whereas the experts I made before were CR3s because it's later in the campaign. I start there. I get these numbers in the combatant array. I kind of maybe look at what the PC version, if it's a PC version, or the earlier version is to get like, this seemed to be common. It's gliding ability. Give it gliding ability. You know that.
I was going to say, to give you an example of how this system might work, let us say you wanted to recreate mimics. The core thing about a mimic is not its hit dice or its CR or its saving throw. The core thing about a mimic is the special ability to pretend to be a chest. Right? So when you're first writing it up, maybe you say, so this mimic is clearly a combatant because he's going to punch things with a chest-faced fist. So I will make him a combatant, and I don't need him to be a soldier, and I will create this special ability, pretend to be a chest. When you later decide what I really want is for a mimic that pretends to be a wizard spellbook and it casts spells, then you'll say, I'm going to have the same ability to pretend to be things, and I will just adjust whatever the CR is based on the rules in here, so that if I have raised it by, if it was CR2 and now it's CR20, obviously the same DCs and the skill checks will be different. But you take that ability, and then you just grab a new array. So this one is a spellcaster array, I'll grab that, and I want an actual set of spells, which we have listed, and you're good to go. So you can always say, what makes this monster? It is almost never the stat blocks, or the what it is the special ability. So once you have sort of the heart of the creature, you can take that heart, pick it up, and drop it on any set of stat blocks so that you can create whatever you want.
So essentially, you could have a campaign long, common foe, like the war against the kobolds, while having to run around with 20 kobold fighters just to make the challenge.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, some of those are world-building decisions, right? It is perfectly appropriate to say, kobolds do not get above CR9. Maybe they don't get above CR3. They're kobolds. But that is, if you instead decide, welcome to my campaign, Little Dragons. You live in the shadow of the great Kobold Empire, where the little dragons rule everything. And Trill the Frilled is the CR25 Kobold Sorcerer, and dragons have kobold as a bloodline. You can do that if you want to. It's quick and easy. We probably won't do it. But that's a world-building question. So yeah,
if you need to do that.
If you decide it's my entire campaign is a battle with bunyips, you can have CR 20 soldier bunyips.
You're some kind of mad genius.
No, I'm a rogue genius.
Oh, right. That's right. I'm sorry.
Set him up for that. That was
set up. Magic!
There was a mutual.
Is this your one?
Just so you know, that all means I got a point. All right, so does that cover the basic questions on the core idea of how this works? Yeah, I keep asking if you get them, but
yeah, please.
I do want to get to this awesome piece of art that we got.
Yeah, okay, so our Washu Flood Guardian is a CR3 creature. I'm just sort of recreating a general sort of stat block in my mind, so the next thing we go down here is size and type. Small, which we have established before in the previous session, and I'm kind of actually going monstrous humanoid for this guy. What do you think?
That's a bit of a reach. I mean, I might call him an aberration.
Aberration?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at him.
Yeah, okay. We can do that.
I mean, so, first of all, he has tentacles, and I cannot offhand think of any monstrous humanoids with tentacles. He has tentacles and wings and legs and a fake head.
Sure, let's do it.
Now,
according to Rimco, the tentacles are just there to hold the babies in.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's a baby's arm. It's a baby's arm.
Okay, but it still has tentacles and arms and legs and wings and a fake head. So, and here's an important note. To a certain extent, it does not matter. Right? We have some type templates so that, like, you know, vermins have dark vision, so if you give it the vermin template, it will get dark vision. That, again, is there for a level of consistency to help the worlds feel the same. But we can get the same basic monster either way. So my inclination is to go aberration, yours is to go monstrous humanoid. Adam, you're the expert. What type is this?
Plant. Kind of going with, yeah, because it has no basis on.
It doesn't quite have a. No, it doesn't matter. It can be whatever if you want to also give it.
I would say it's monstrous humanoid, even though I.
Monstrous aberration.
I don't like that as a category of. That's not my fault.
Well, and one of the things that you're just going to get used to as Starfinder is, what is this? It's a hyper-intelligent shade of blue, so...
Also, like...
Outsider?
Aberration kind of, like, gets stretched.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That comes up. Yeah, definitely.
Which is why I... Unless everything is an aberration, I don't like the idea of it being an aberration. But I'm okay if y'all tell me, no, everything's an aberration.
Well, everything is not an aberration, or we would not have monstrous humanoids to grab.
Right.
So, okay, like I said, you're the monster guy, you're here, so we will go with...
It's not really humanoids either, like as far as morphology goes.
No, it's not a magical beast, though.
Yeah.
No.
What about birds? It's a plant. It goes from a seed. It's basically a veggie pygmy crossed with an owl.
That also steps on Mego toes, and no one wants to step on Mego toes.
Mego
toes? No,
they have toes?
They do if they take them from someone. we will make
aberration.
The call. Aberration?
Yeah.
Aberration. Adam made a call to aberration.
Aberration. Cool. Stat block, you do it, next thing out is the initiative modifier. We don't know its stats yet, so we would just skip that for now. Same with, our aberration graph gives you senses, dark vision, 60 feet. So senses, dark vision, 60 feet. And then following that would be a perception modifier, which we'll get to when we get to the skill bits. But now, going on to the more important things. And there might be some other defenses. That'd be R right there. Moving on to the defenses line.
Just so you know, he's now writing on a stat block from memory.
Yeah. Well, I've been working on these for, like, months now.
Yeah, you are. That's so impressive.
And the first thing under that, I believe... Oh, well, we kind of a little bit different, because on that defenses breaker, we kind of have been putting hit points. You'll see there's some stat blocks, formatting changes we've made. But anyway, our hit points that this thing has is 35. So let's give it 34, because it looks a little crunchy to me. But not much more, not super crunchy. And then we move on to the armor class and such. And on our graph, we have an EAC of 14 and a KAC of 15. Ooh,
are you all familiar with EAC, KAC? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I've been running games.
In Starfinder, you have two armor classes. You have your energy armor class, which is fire, acid, sonic, lightning. And you have your kinetic armor class, which is bludgeoning, slashing, piercing. if an attack does any bludgeoning, slashing, or piercing, mm-hmm. even if it has other energy effects added, it is against KAC. If it is all energy, then it's against EAC. Generally speaking, it is easier to hit things EAC, but KAC attacks tend to do more damage. So then we don't do touch attacks, magic effects and stuff, which is usually what a touch attack is, do go up against EAC. All of our spellcasters, none of them have a bad attack bonus, and a lot of spells let you use your key ability score, which instead of having to say the ability score that modifies the saving throws of the spell you use, all classes have a key ability score. So we can just say, you've got a special ability, it's 10 plus half your level plus the key ability score. So sometimes you get to do that for an attack that is touch, but your only ACs are KAC and EAC. Flat-footed is a condition, so you don't have to track that differently. We don't do touch AC, so you don't have to track that differently. We got rid of combat maneuver defense, so you don't have to track that differently. You've got two defensive numbers, that's all you have to keep track of.
All right. I'm going to keep looking at my charts here, because the next thing I believe under that would be your saving throws, right?
Yes, and those are unchanged.
Those are unchanged, so we got fort,
3 points.
Ref, the 4 plus 2, ref plus 2, will plus 6, but it's being an aberration, it gets an additional plus 2 to that. Often, so these graphs will sort of alter the things that are on the array. With the type graph, I like to kind of do them at the same time because what they generally will do is senses and then possibly either something about saving throws and or something about its attacks. And that's basically it. They're real super short. With the exception of maybe if you... and they're all super short. okay, now I'm blank. I'm starting to blank here. I didn't bring anything with me. Then that goes on after that. There'll be some defensive abilities. We haven't thought about what kind of... We haven't gotten to all the special things about it yet. I'm just sort of doing the chassis. Defensive abilities would go there. That would be your DR and whatnot. But I'm just going to leave that line there just in case we need it. Offense. Here we go.
All right. For offense to make sense, we'll have to go into another thing that makes Starfighter different from Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
There are no iterative attacks in Starfighter. As a standard action, you can attack once. As a full action, you can attack twice. Both attacks are at -4. As a player character, until you get to a way high level, we are now done. Attack once or attack twice, both at -4. Most monsters attack once. If you have a cat with claws, it does not matter. You don't have to say claws 2. Because it can either attack one of its claws as standard, or two as a full at -4, even if it has 19 claws. It doesn't really matter. We do, at higher CRs, we have the option, if it's a dragon, the claw bite is kind of iconic to a dragon, so we do have, here are the attack rolls and the damage. If it makes 3 attacks, or if you want to do something like a hydra that has 4 attacks, here we do that. But that is all baked into these arrays, so you just have to look at how many attacks does it need, and we really mean need. The fact that you've got 2 front paws, both of which have claws on them, doesn't mean you need to write claws too.
Cool. We get 2 numbers here on the attacks, so sort of the bonus, a high attack bonus and a low attack bonus, which we generally assign to range and melee if we want to. I'm sort of still trying to think, this being higher class level, we would probably give it some kind of gear, so it might actually even not just be like, I claw your face, even though I'm a spaceman. You might have a gun, this guy.
So this is supposed to be a workshop. Let's see if they want him to have a gun. Who here wants this monster to have equipment?
Equipment or a gun?
Equipment.
Gun. Okay. Yeah. All right. So
who wants him to kill you with just his brain and feet? I think equipment wins.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
despite Adam's brain and feet.
So when we after that we kept the sort of like damage damage values. But we often sort of, if we're going to say, give it a laser gun, default to that. And since this is a CR3, the equipment list here, thanks, Owen. That was my idea. Most likely, though, I think we'll just give him a sort of the first level laser pistol, which is the... Anyway. And I think this guy is probably more of a little better at shooting than punching. He's got a +9 to his shooting. And then if he had a punching, he would have a +7 for that. And luckily the damage here and the damage of this sort of early weapon sort of actually is the same. So he is going to be doing 1d4 +3 fire damage with his laser pistol. That pistol has a critical that if he hits a critical, he sets you on fire. This is all part of the equipment, by the way, so this is not actually counting as special abilities. Am I really doing this by memory? Jesus.
yes, we're doing this by memory.
Okay, so offensive abilities will be the next thing on there, and we can talk about all that later. But I think we want to really get in here. What we're really in here is his stats, his statistics, his strength, con, modifiers, etc., etc. What we have here, we have in the array, we have the three highest. and those are 4, 2, and 1. And I think, what do we think? Dexterity?
Yeah,
everyone? Okay, so.
If you're a high gravity welder?
Yeah, but so here's the thing. Here's the thing about high gravity.
Those pictures
the speed at which this hits the ground is determined by how high the gravity is. So the higher the gravity is, the faster your reflexes have to be to catch yourself when you fall. So a high gravity worlder is actually likely to have very fast reflexes, and that is one of the things that was modeled by Dex.
Yeah. And I think though, yeah, we might actually even be sort of not fully going with the high gravity thing, the original idea. We kind of might have to abandon that with what this looks like, right? And that's something.
Though, right? We can make the strength +2.
Yeah, we can give him strength +2. Do we want to do that, everybody?
Yeah.
That's the second one. All right, cool. Although, he is an envoy.
Yep.
He probably should be a little more charismatic.
Well, you can give him +1.
I would have given the +2 for the charisma, honestly.
But you did, but we don't have to.
I know we don't have to, but just sort of how it feels, right?
If we want him to be a heavy worlder,
yeah,
he should have that +2.
Okay, what do y'all think
if
about that?
If we don't, then we'll put that in charisma.
He's going to have to be a great one.
Who wants him to be a noteworthily heavy worlder creature?
Yeah.
Who either doesn't or doesn't care? Okay.
He's such a good singer.
Unsurprisingly, when I gave them two options instead of one, the two options went out. So yeah, let's go ahead and give them the +1 to strength and +2 to charisma.
Okay. And then we can also sort of the lower one we can sort of spread out, but we're just going to go with +0s for the other three. And we got about everything. Ability scores if we need them. Oh, skills. Let's talk about skills. Let's talk about you and me. Okay. Damn it, I'm insane. So we have here.
That's okay. How much sleep have you had the past 2 days?
I've had enough. Oh, thank you very much. I just like talking like this.
Okay.
You can put me in front of an audience. I kind of babble a little bit. So we have here on every array you have a list of master skills and good skills. And that's a master value, which is what it's best at. And it's good value. This being an expert, he's going to get a lot of skills. So he's going to basically have as +13 in 3 skills and a +8 in 2 skills. We don't count perception in that. If we wanted to give it perception at its good value without it counting towards those two. If we wanted to give it the +13 because we thought it was very perceptive, we could do that and then maybe give it an extra +8. I don't know. What do y'all think about perception-wise? You give him the big one.
You're specifically making him a flock guardian.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that would be a high perception concept.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. We get 2 more +13s and a couple +8s. Now we have these numbers here. They aren't hard coded. Skills, especially, are the things you can be the most flexible with. Especially if you're making an expert use. It's probably not going to have computers and life sciences and all these other skills that the news wouldn't normally have, unless you really wanted to do that. I squish type 50 words per minute.
I keep shorting out the electronics.
If you want to make the encyclopedia slide.
Sure, yeah, you can.
You can totally do that.
And you could even give it more skills.
Yes, the internet is an encyclopedia slide.
Excel?
He has proficiency in Excel.
I see what you did there. Assuming
the skill selections are the same as Pathfinder,
the
one that springs to mind to me for this creature is a high survival.
A high survival, that's actually a good point. Survival is one of them. They are a little bit different. We've sort of lumped some together, and we sort of, especially lots of the knowledges, and the difference between like flying and other acrobatics.
So fly got rolled into acrobatics, yeah. Swimming and climbing and jumping are all just athletics. And one of the reasons we did that is that we clearly needed to create a computer's skill for the future, and we didn't want to bury people alive with skills. So we did compress those.
Yeah, we did compress
those. You don't need both spellcraft and knowledge arcana. We just rolled all that into the system.
Yay! You're getting all the goodies now. about monsters, you learn so much about the system itself. So let's give it a +13 in survival.
Don't kid yourself. That's a reasonable.
I know a good
and
way.
Described as a fly.
Right, exactly. Let's give it a +13 in acrobatics. Let's do that. Now, do we want to? We sort of did talk about them being a little dim, so they're probably not going to have these sciencey.
Well, we did talk about them being social, being more intelligent, to do better.
That's true. So we want to give them a little bit of.
Well, some of that might be a special ability.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, but that might be culturally reflected. We have a couple skills to sort of spend here, so let's talk about, is this guy a diplomat? These kind of guys, this one in particular, diplomatic? Does he? Is he more trickery?
It's a guardian who's an operative, so this is like
envoy.
I see danger. Okay,
envoy.
But it's like I see danger. Okay, everyone run away that way.
They're the first contact guys. They assess the threat.
Okay. That's why I got a good perception of 13 and survival plus 13. That'll help them assess the threat.
They should have some knowledge so they know what it is they're looking at.
Oh, let's give them culture.
Yeah.
All right, that's a sort of a kind of a knowledge-y kind of skill that we've encompassed the number ones in, and then I'm thinking we should do diplomacy. What's that? It is still a skill. That's a good point. You know what? Because we can give it an extra plus eight. Let's give it a sense motive of plus eight. Why the heck not?
Yeah.
And are the skills still modified then by their ability scores?
No. That is now that these numbers that we have are the numbers. So
here's one of the places where the system prevents you from having to do math. At this CR, to be effective at these skills, to be really pretty effective, you need a plus 13. To be modestly effective, you need a plus 8. If we ended up doing ranks and ability scores and all that, then you might end up in a place where, hey, we can decide what this thing does. It's incredibly diplomatic, so we give it a plus 13. Oh, but we needed to give it a dex of plus 4, and now I can't find the acronym. No. We also don't care if it's got a plus 6. Because that is enough below 8 that it's probably not going to be good enough for an 8. It's 10% off. You can still make skill checks and things that doesn't have any ranks up, and that just works.
Oh, and I'm looking at this array.
Uh-huh. You're looking at the array.
And I don't see a listing for how many feats it gets.
You're right. There is no listing for
how many feats. That's weird. Did we mess up?
So, here's the thing.
It seems so natural.
A lot of monster feats exist so that we have options to get their numbers where they need to be. So toughness and skill focus and improved initiative and all those things are all there to do that. What? Dodge.
The suite of NPC.
We have skipped all of those, so you don't need them. A lot of others are specifically for things that happen entirely out of combat. We don't care about those. We can create any special ability we want for this monster. So normally, if you want the monster to do something, you just go, what do I want it to do? I'll write that up as an ability. Now, if it happens that we have an ability that is exactly what you want as a feat, great, write it down as a feat. If you decide that what you have created is a anti-grenade gremlin, this is my concept, it's the gremlin of disposable explosive devices, and you want it to be able to run up to someone, pull the pin on their grenade, and run away, and then they blow up. It happens we have spring attack and pull the pin as feats. Great, I will just give it spring attack, pull the pin, because we have those written up. And they will just count as special abilities. And if it doesn't need anything else, you don't have to get there and go, well, I guess it'll have jet dash and proficiency with the spike chain, why not? And you just don't have to worry about those things.
Those, and you may not be able to answer this, but those numbers also help you avoid the feet tax for certain things. And when I say feet tax, I'm talking about like the precise shot chain that you have to take to be an effective archer. So some monsters have that because, oh, they're an archer class and they have to have these feet.
And we basically don't have a precise shot chain.
So we
skip that problem that way.
Yeah.
And then answers the question.
We're actually heading up on 45, so we gotta start in the process of wrapping this up. So let's go super quick I can tell you that I goofed up a tiny bit. When we move on to the class graph, the envoy class graph does basically give a different adjustment, and some of these adjustments supersede other adjustments. So that plus 2 I gave it because it was an aberration to its will save is actually an adjustment I should not have given it, because envoys get a plus 2 to their reflex saving throws, so he should have a plus 2 to his reflex saving throws instead. Minor stuff. basically, it sort of does sort of give you some ideas here where the ability, good build modifier should be, what the skill should be, that sort of thing. And then we move on to, we have a nice list for every class that says, by CR, how much of that class do you give it? For a CR of 3, we only have to need to go as far as the CR of 2 for an envoy. And basically what that is we would give it 2 on first level envoy improvisations, and then 1 special ability of our choosing. And these can be a little fluid too. And in higher levels, when we talk about giving things envoy improvisations at higher level, we are sort of assumed some of them have prerequisites of earlier envoy improvisations. If you want to give it sort of improve this, that, and the other thing, you already assume that it has the first level of that. You don't have, it doesn't count against its abilities. And I said, hey, wouldn't it be fun to do class graphs here, right? And then I realized...
You didn't bring the class.
I didn't bring any class stuff for me.
Okay.
However, so. Means, I do remember that, of course, one of the fun things about... there'd be two good envoy propositions we could give it. We give it get them, which is like, hey, go get that guy. You got a plus +1. get him.
Remember the one for dropping prone? Do you remember the name of it?
What? Oh,
the envoy
propositions
for dropping prone? Used it, it's called.
I didn't use it.
Might be lookout.
Lookout! Alright, actually that might be better than get 'em because we can do lookout and then the one that is the pep talk, inspiring boost. Inspiring boost, because that
okay.
Seems like something
so
we've got to be
it,
like.
It may not end up being called watch out because we are all pretty punch drunk, but the envoys have an ability where if someone is attacked, you can, as a reaction, yell, look out! And that person has the opportunity to fall prone and get a plus +4 bonus against that attack as they throw themselves under the attack. Of course, they have to get up on their turn.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Since he is this flock guardian, if something
right.
Attacks a member of the flock, he can yell,
look out!
Look out!
No, it would be more like this. Look out! And then there would be a nice, refreshing minty smell. And then the other thing would be inspiring boost, which is basically like, you're doing a great job, have some stamina points back, which we have talked about. Oh, no, that doesn't make any sense for a monster. Forget I said that. Because monsters don't have the stamina points that PCs have. They
yep.
Just have the hit points. Then we'll give them get them, because why not? Because that's a good fun. Look out and get them. Then we have 1 special ability, which is where we get to be creative. We get to pick one. We have a list of them we can just sort of say, hey, here are a bunch of universal creature rules, like grab or constrict or trample and whatnot. You can swallow whole. You can pop one of those on there. Sometimes, you know, we're here, everyone wants to see how the sausage gets made. Let's talk about something fun that this guy can do. Now the hive mind thing might be the way to go
uh-huh.
with this.
Is that going to complicate the PC race at all?
Yeah.
What if you had a hive mind?
We're going to have to really
shoot. Sharon already have a hive mind-like ability
yeah.
of community.
Well, the idea that was posed earlier, that the larger concentration of them, they become more intelligent.
Well, we can
do
it.
The threshold below or above average party size.
Yeah.
Well, and we can also say, right, that if there are enough people there, they become more intelligent because they get to add 2 to int checks, and it's an insight bonus. So it won't stack
yeah.
our other insight bonuses, so it won't break anything.
You had your hand up there.
Oh, I was just going to say, is that, so when we're talking about abilities, does this go back into that defensive and offensive stuff? Or
yeah, it would be if they had them. Like, for instance, DR, resistances would count as a special ability.
Yeah.
But you could probably give a couple resistances would count
well,
as
earlier
one
we were talking
ability.
About working with the bacteria mechanic or, like, a poison type thing.
Oh, yeah. Also, it all being right. Having a disease. This guy might have a lot of special abilities from all the, you know, the notes that we took about,
yeah.
about it doing that. So, but I think we can give it 2. Those are both kind of defensive. We could even...
Let's give it two.
Is there enough flex in the system that when you get all said and done, say you go, okay, well, they're high gravity world or they got high reflexes, they should really be really good pilots. And you just give an extra plus +13 skill. Is that going to.
It's not going to break it, and I really forgot about piloting whatsoever. It is. Well, I was thinking of the aerial, the one
well,
my operative would have been piloting.
So here's the thing.
This guy doesn't necessarily need to.
Are the guidelines of what they get are based on, in our experience, what an appropriate amount is for a typical monster of that CR.
Okay.
So. You could. There's no law that says you have given it 27 defensive abilities. You can't do that. But what it is that the higher CR it is, the more defensive abilities it gets. Because having DR is pretty good. Having regeneration is pretty good. Having DR and regeneration is more than twice as good. Having DR and regeneration and greater invisibility and teleport as a move action. And even if it's just got these attack numbers, it starts to be something those people can't deal with.
Yeah.
But worse, if you then just hop it up there without increasing its CR,
yeah.
Now anyone that can deal with it will turn it into paste.
Yeah.
So okay. you are free to vary, yeah. And especially if you go, I really want all of these to have been genetically engineered to understand life science, so they will all get a bonus life science.
No, that's not going to break anything. That's right. Different from saying, I'm going to give it bonus stealth and intimidate and perception. At that point, those are combat-relevant things that can enter it.
So realistically, you've got the space to give it fluffy abilities that totally don't break the ability of a PC.
And you will pretty easily, you'll start to get a feel for when you can say, okay, I'm fine, and okay, I'm over. But, you know, it, I don't know how many of you people faced an orc in 3rd edition D&D. If a 1 CR orc or half CR orc crit you with a Falchion, you're dead. Just dead, because that's just how the numbers work. That's the sort of thing we're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
We're nearly out of time.
We are pretty much out of time. I don't know how quickly we can do sort of PC stats for this. But we can
yeah, I don't think we have time.
You don't think I have time for that. So basically, the special abilities for this monster, come talk to me about PC stats later if you want to hear my ideas about it. But special ideas, I think, for this monster, we should do the sort of community sort of thing. Not quite the same as the Sheeran. Maybe instead of getting smarter, they just get initiative bonus or something along those lines.
When meeting other cultures, being an envoy, because of their telepathic abilities, they can understand any language on first contact.
That's interesting too. Yeah, we didn't talk about its languages either too. It's a language is sort of, you just give him some languages in this sort of sense, and we could say he's got limited telepathy. 100 feet, which is basically you can get telepathy with someone you share language, but we can give them this ability that could be, hey, I talked to you for, he's got to talk to someone for 10 minutes, and then you kind of pick up that language, so you can use your limited telepathy after talking and maybe even succeeding at a check. And then, like, a second ability, we should probably do a fun, it's kind of like indigestible, like when you eat this guy, you get a disease.
Yeah. Why would you hunt them then?
Why would you hunt them? That's the point. That's what they...
Because
maybe you're
talking about them being hunted.
Oh, well, because the race that hunts them is immune to disease.
Yeah. Yeah. The long flounder.
There you go. That's two monsters for the price of one. All right, well, so we got to wrap it up here, so thank you all for coming by. I hope that was enlightening. And look for this guy in my home campaign coming soon.
And special thanks to Jason Keeley for memorizing the monster creation.
So, but I got it wrong.
Yeah, but no one knows that.
No one knows that.
You just would stop saying that. No one
I did write Tail Day.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the No Direction Podcast PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage, made possible with the help of Justin Sluder and Ryan Hiller of Geek Dad. To find more great Pathfinder audio, go to NoDirectionPodcast.com.